persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The Brain Massage Show radiates the mind with truth, releasing thought antibodies that attack and destroy lies. Stay tuned. The Brain Masseur is ready to massage your brain.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, your brain masseur. Are you ready for your gray matter massage?
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is still on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. So watch and pray, family, watch and pray. It's looking great for Republicans in November. Only, what, 4 weeks away? As we all know, however, we must never underestimate the ability of the Republicans to snatch defeat right out of the jaws of victory. We've seen it before, so pray. In fact, there are some disturbing signs that the enemy is positioning itself already to turn what we might look at as a conservative victory into a disappointing defeat. So watch. Now, folks, I don't need to repeat here what you've been hearing from Hannity and Rush and, you know, that we have the Dems in full retreat. I'm cheering right along with you for the Tea Party, which has had a powerful impact on these elections and, for the most part, positive. In some cases, dehorning some old rhinos like Murkowski in Alaska and challenging some of the most deeply rooted liberal socialist politicians in government today, such as Reid and, closer to home here in California, Barbara Boxer. Boxer's hold on her Senate seat is being seriously challenged by flaky Fiorina. I'll explain that in a moment, which tells you how seriously Obama and company has weakened the Democrat power base here in California, of all places. In 08, remember, Boxer won her re-election bid by something like 76% of the vote. Mercy. Now neck and neck with Fiorina. My listeners know that I've not been a huge fan of Fiorina. We had available to us a much stronger conservative candidate, much more deserving of Sarah Palin's endorsement, by the way, Chuck DeVore, could have beat Boxer in this present political environment. And we blew an opportunity to get a principled fiscal and principled social conservative in Congress representing California. Now, let me belay your fears, mates. I can and will vote for Fiorina. She is a consistent and principled fiscal conservative. At HP, she stood up to some serious pressure to cave in on her conservative convictions in this area, and that comforts me. Also, she is on the right side of the two critical social issues confronting us today. She opposes same-sex marriage, supports Proposition 8, and she opposes abortion. However, she is less a stalwart on these issues than she is on the fiscal principles she espouses. You will notice, for example, her position on these social issues does not seem to rise from moral conviction. When she explains her position on abortion, for example, it's personal experience stuff, like the fact that her husband's mother was advised to abort him, and she did not. And, of course, now she is his mother's pride and joy and Fiorina's rock. And that's all very nice. However, that is not what I would call a principled position on pro-life. It's a rather weak and wobbly personal feeling type of position. Likewise, she is not principally opposed to homosexuality. In fact, the gay wing of the GOP, and there is one of those, did you know that? The gay wing of the GOP, called G-O-P-R-O-U-D, Go Proud, endorsed Fiorina over Tom Campbell, who is a moderate Republican that openly supported gay marriage. You see, Fiorina opposes same-sex marriages, but she supports the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Yeah, it's one of those have-it-both-way positions that trouble Christian conservatives such as moi. And that is why I call her Flaky Fiorina. It's not because I don't respect her achievements in the business world or her abilities as a corporate executive. It's because when it comes to these key issues, I'm afraid her convictions are not sufficiently strong on these important issues that to hold her firm when the winds blow hard against her, when the decisions get tough. I'm afraid she'll compromise these values when the decisions get tough. A characteristic, by the way, that she has displayed when confronted with other moral dilemmas in her life. Nevertheless, she espouses a pro-life position and supports Proposition 8, so I can vote for her. Another California rising star I'm watching with interest is Star Parker. She is making serious headway in her bid for the 37th Congressional District here in California, which for the last 46 years, that's 1964 to 2010, has voted Republican in only 10 elections, which is about something like one decade out of about five. But there is a change in the winds of liberal Long Beach, Compton, Carson, Signal Hill, and a few other of the municipalities that make up that district. And that's good news. However, there are disturbing signs of compromise in the ranks of conservatives. Here we had an opportunity of a political lifetime to put forward the very best conservatives we have available. And what do? Well, in California, we put up Meg Whitman. Oh, mercy. That girl has spent over $119 million of her own money. Actually, I think she's put in another $14 million or something. Anyway, I hear it's over $130 million now. She has set a new record of a politician putting personal money into their own candidacy. Against Jerry Brown, who has raised only $23 million. It's amazing that they are neck and neck in this race. She has outspent Brown more than 5-1. Remember that Arnold Schwarzenegger originally campaigned his first time in as a strong fiscal conservative who was at that time not pro-gay. Now, all of that changed when he got whipped by the skirts in the teachers union into a political girly boy, but that's a different story. My point is we could have put our best conservative candidate out there with a better chance to win than Meg, but you thought you needed someone who was about half liberal to get the governor's mansion here in California. Meg is adamantly pro-choice and quietly acquiescent to the gay agenda. She will not get my vote. I will not sell my soul to you pragmatists in the GOP. So there. The reason I oppose Meg Whitman is that she represents the abandonment of the pro-life platform of the GOP by the California Republican Party. And there are some other problems that surface as we go along. Here is a headline, quote, Tea Party New York governor candidate's emails expose racism, porn, bestiality, end quote. I know you've heard about it. Carl Paladino forwarded, and he has admitted to this, by the way, he forwarded, and sometimes he was the original sender of some very disturbing, perverse emails. Now, we're talking dozens of these sent to several friends. He has represented himself to the Tea Party movers and shakers in New York as, quote, the only Republican in the race who agrees 100% with conservative values, end quote. Oh, really? Well, obviously, this scandal seems to compromise that somewhat, eh? What is with the brand of conservatives we are seeing rise to the top these days? This is not totally new. And we know that there are examples of this on both sides of the aisle, as they say. But what the left does is they take advantage of the fact that most grassroots conservatives find that kind of behavior reprehensible and disgusting and very difficult to support. I remember when we were all appalled by Clinton's antics in the Oval Office. The liberals ignored it as meaningless, while conservatives actually made quite a bit of noise about how offensive it was. But now we have characters like this Paladino fellow who gets a kick out of sending bestiality videos to his friends along with very distasteful racist and hardcore pornographic pictures. You gotta be kidding me. And maybe his response is what makes it all the worse. Quote, Paladino has responded to the email brouhaha at a press conference, declaring he is not racist and adding, quote, to any of the ladies I've offended, I apologize. I say this to the men out there who have never opened a graphic image on the internet. Don't vote for me. For those who have, I welcome your vote, end quote. What a jerk. Mr. Paladino, this is not about someone, let's say, who receives an unsolicited email, camouflage, or something else, and opens it only to find himself exposed to some of this rot and then immediately gets rid of it. It's not about somebody who stumbles across this filth while doing internet research. I've had this kind of thing happen to me. In fact, it's interesting. A few years ago, for about a month or so, I received about two or three of these a day, it seemed, and they were camouflage in a way that they tricked me three or four times. I tried to track them back to the source so I could complain or get a name to report, but I don't have the technical skills to do that. So I called the local FBI to find out what could be done, and they were less than enthusiastic about helping me with this problem, by the way. The sense of being invaded by these perverts is deeply disturbing. Funny thing, though, not long after I contacted the FBI, these stopped appearing in my email, so whatever that's about. It never occurred to me to email them to my friends as a sort of har-har joke. I certainly took no pleasure in them, and I can't relate to those who would. So, Mr. Paladino, if you thought these were cute and fun at, what are you, 63 years of age or something like that? I mean, you're not some prepubescent or teeny-bopping kid tee-heeing over this sort of filth. I would expect a mature fellow who goes around spouting the line about being the only Republican candidate who agrees 100% with conservative values, I would expect such would not be the sort of person who would want to proliferate this kind of filth, but would trash it immediately. So, I'm afraid not, Mr. Palladino. This behavior is revealing of a perversity in your character that is troubling to most grassroots conservatives. Or so I hope. Furthermore, your hot-headed response to that jerk of a reporter, and he was a jerk, who got in your face is another example of character weakness that I, for one, am not excited to see in someone holding the sort of political power you're asking us to give you. Anyway, the Republican Party representative, who in an interview with Savage said that she did not think this would be a problem for Palladino because, as she put it, she didn't know of any man who had not dabbled in such pornography. Well, that's a revelation of just how perverse our society has become. If this is the party position, well, then listen. The next time you attempt to trash a Democrat or Democrat for this kind of thing, I'm going to remind you of just what kind of hypocrite you are. Many, it seems, accept this stuff as par for the course. It seems we actually expect our leaders to be perverse. But listen, folks, it's righteousness that exalts a nation. And perversity, whether it be conservative perversity or liberal perversity, is a reproach to our nation, a shame. You are a shame to the likes of George Washington. On the liberal side, their perversity is in ideology. They are perverted in their soul with the lies of Marxism. And while sexual perversity is certainly a problem on both sides, it's only a problem on one side. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, the rationalists on the left, they don't bother themselves with concerns among them with this sort of thing. But the God-fearing patriots on the right are put off by it. And so genuine Christian conservatives are finding the GOP to be more and more of a cesspool in which they are becoming uncomfortable. As more and more leaders moving into high levels of that party turn out to be people with whom they simply cannot relate and certainly don't want to point their children to as leaders. Folks, I have a hard time relating to a 63-year-old, whom I presume is a grandfather by now, who gets a kick out of sending perverse emails to his buddies. What kind of a person is that? Now, all of this is building up to a point, as usual, so hang on. Probably I will need to address the O'Donnell Delaware teen witch experimentation thing. I watched that video with Mar, and I've heard young people give these sorts of testimonies of near brushes with that nonsense many times. Our culture promotes it to our young people. And so I'm not surprised that we are now having candidates who have some of that in their background. It was marijuana in the 60s, remember? And so when those kids grew up, it was inevitable that some would move into politics. And then we began to have these absurd scenes like when Clinton claimed to have stoked but never inhaled. Yeah, right. Like, that's believable coming from anyone, much less so coming from that liar. I mean, from a guy who cannot figure out the meaning of is. Now, with Harry Potter and all the vampire movies and the growing popularity of Wicca, paganism is making a resurgence in our culture. And along with it, the evils paganism historically brings into the cultures dominated by it. Worship of the earth, subordination of man to the elements, and all that foolishness. So, we should not be surprised to have a candidate come along who has dabbled in this folly as a youth. But before long, if we don't get this ship turned around, we'll have full-blown Wiccans, or shall we say out-of-the-closet witches, running for office on a pagan platform openly. Of course, right now the Dems are doing that in the closet. Anyway, as a matter of fact, the Bible. Remember that book? Don't you? You know, the one our founders quoted so often and that served as the foundation of our laws. In the Bible, there is a prophecy that when the man of sin comes on the scene, he is the guy most of you call the Antichrist, the political ruler of the world, he will advance policies, government policies that will promote witchcraft in the world, and it will prosper under his rule. The stage is being set today. However, when I watched the video of O'Donnell offering her true confession, as it were, it was clear to me it was regarded by her as a folly of youth, and that she was actually offering this mea culpa as qualifying her to speak to the evils of that practice. So, no, I don't think O'Donnell's a witch. I think she's okay, and I hope she'll win. So here's my take on how all of this is shaping up. There's no question about it, the Dems are in trouble. You can see it in how they are promoting their candidates. They cannot speak to the substance of their position because everybody is ticked off with them for what they have been doing. We, the people, don't want their socialist machine shoved down our throats against our will. They cannot run on their own record or on their agenda. So they try to smear their opponents. It's like the old saying among lawyers, quote, if you have the law on your side, argue the law. If you have the facts, argue the facts. If you have neither, pound the table, end quote. So what you're hearing from the left is a lot of table pounding. And you really know they are in trouble when they just don't have the reach they need to make any kind of serious contact when they're throwing blows at Republicans. So far, none of their jabs at the chin have scored, and it looks like the Republicans are in to win big in November. Also, there are some very good candidates in position to win who can actually help us turn this mess around, or at least make a good start at it. However, if the GOP thinks it can turn its back on the baby in the womb and the rise of the sodomites in this land and keep forcing us into a position where the only choice we have is to elect some perverse warped porn peddler, and you think that such people will be able to pull America out of her spiraling dive toward economic disaster, you know, listen, you're just fooling yourselves. We need to reckon with God Almighty. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. You've been warned. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. That's Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness, not fiscally conservative moral reprobates. Righteousness, by the way, as God defines it, not as you liberals define it, or some of you secular conservatives define it, which, by the way, is no definition at all. Except that in the liberals' case, liberalism is good, conservatism is bad. But beyond that, anything goes, you know. Which is a point of view that is beginning to take hold, it seems, in GOP circles. Only the idea seems there to be that conservative fiscal policies are sufficiently righteous so as to counterbalance any of the perversities in the character of the candidates. Not gonna happen. It is righteousness that exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach. Guys like Palladino are a reproach to us. It is as Washington warned us many years ago, quote, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports," end quote. Now, I'm afraid that after all is said and done, if we don't get some godly representatives to manage our political affairs, we're going to just continue pushing this nation toward hell. Listen, folks, the Bible warns you have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes, end quote. If you don't get right with God, you're not going to prosper. I'll be right back.
Pastor Scheidbach is charging the gates of hell. Don't leave him hanging. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com to make a donation or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. If you want to help us expand the reach of this broadcast, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and I'm ready to complete your brain massage for today. Okay, what have we? Let's see. Beck does not believe we need to be wasting time opposing same-sex marriage. When asked whether he thought gay marriage is, quote, "a threat to the country in any way," end quote, he mocked and said, "No, I don't." Huh. Well, you know, big deal. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, my. Do I ignore this? Quote, "Glenn Beck fans doubt his take on eligibility," end quote. Yeah, I remember that spiel he put out bashing the birthers. And more recently, he told us that Obama is not the problem. And you know what? Actually, I agree with that, sort of. I mean, I've often pointed out that we need to look deeper at the Soros crowd behind Obama. But make no mistake about it, my friends, Obama is in and of himself an angry and bitter man who hates the white blood in his veins and believes the only way to get justice for past racial sins of this nation is to commit present racial sins against whitey. That's right. His anti-colonialism hatred for the European white man is something he nursed on, as he said, with satisfaction. He nursed a hatred and animosity toward his mother's race. I mean, the guy's a psychological mess. And Glenn, he is certainly a serious part of the immediate problem in this country. And it's right for us to focus on him. Anyway, the colonoscopy of Glenn's Mormonism has begun, as I predicted. Here is one, quote, "God, the Gospel, and Glenn Beck," end quote. And like me, this writer, like all of us, I think, he says, quote, "Beck isn't the problem," end quote. And I'd go along with that. Furthermore, he lauds him with all sorts of well-earned praise. And anyone who knows Glenn's background cannot help but have a huge well of sympathy for his tragic youth. I mean, his dear mother drowned with an abusive lover and stuff like that. This sort of stuff weighs heavy on young hearts. And it does a lot to shape us when we're older. It plays with your head, you know. His battle with Jack Daniels, I mean, his alcoholism, all of that, very tragic. Mercy, the man's been through so much. And I love him, and I pray for him, and I hope that that sharp wit and that quick mind of his will turn its powers to a thorough investigation of his goofy religion. complete with its peeping stones through which Joseph Smith read the Egyptian hieroglyphics that happened to include entire chapters of the King James Bible. Okay. Anyway. Folks, when the president of the Mormon Church, who is in that religion, given the office of prophet, to speak for the Mormon Church in a manner very similar to how the Pope speaks for Catholics, well, when he stands up and disavows the bizarre teachings of Joe and Brigham, well, that will certainly get my attention. Glenn Beck is not going to call Christians together for a revival of religion in America. He'll do better to stay with his politics. Here is another of the colonscopic probes into Glenn's religion that I told you would be forthcoming. Quote, Beck's Christian credentials scrutinized, end quote. This in Newsweek. Quote, what exactly are Glenn Beck's credentials as a theologian, end quote. And the reporter asks the $64,000 question. Quote, but to what version of religion should Americans be awakened, end quote. And I offer, parenthetically, how about the one that gave us the core principles of freedom of religion, freedom of conscience? You know, the one that baptized George Washington, huh? Anyway, she points out the truth that most so-called evangelical Christians do not accept Mormonism as a Christian sect. Rather, the Mormons are considered to be a cult. Mormonism was founded in the early 1830s, and every major work on cults written in the past 100 years has included a chapter of Mormonism. But listen, you are convinced the salvation of America depends on getting people to pray together, no matter what version of God they pray to. Who cares? Just come together right now over me, right? Watch out. So Glenn Beck in an interview. But by the way, I told you that when Glenn Beck decided to declare his rally was not political but spiritual, and when he offered criticisms against Obama's religion, he was inviting a colonoscopy of Mormonism. And I said it would not even be me what did it. I'm just reporting on what's being said out there and bring you up to speed on all this, all right, among the evangelicals. So cool your jets and just deal with the truth, man. Hey, unlike some of you, I am not willing to ever allow truth to become a casualty in my battle for the heart of my beloved nation. I'll not join some of you who insist that we must betray truth to win elections in order to restore truth. What sense does that make? You cannot stab truth in the back to get power in order to restore truth to power. You've killed it. It will never work. Anyway, Glenn Beck in an interview let slip some of his, quote, core Mormon beliefs, end quote. He said, quote, there's nothing we can do that will solve the problems that we have and keep the peace unless we solve it through God. Unless we solve it in being our highest self. Be your higher self, end quote. Now, I heard that, and I've heard him say stuff like that before. But now, finally, others are beginning to listen. You see, it just happens to be the case that this expression, your higher self, that was used by Glenn Beck in his interview with Chris Wallace and on his radio show, is a New Age expression. One New Age website says, quote, there are many great words to describe who or what your highest identity or self truly is. Below are just a few. And then this New Age website lists, quote, higher self, I am presence, I am that I am, cosmic consciousness, God, Christ, Holy Spirit, and then the list goes on, end quote. You don't think Beck intended to use the expression in this way? Well, of course you don't believe that. But it just so happens that a few weeks ago on his radio show, Beck said, quote, I am that I am is the most powerful phrase in any language as it is the name of God. Never use it in vain. Use it to create who you want to be. I am blank, end quote. Or in other words, I am and then fill in the blank. So you use the divine declaration, I am that I am, to create who you want to be. By personalizing the name of God, asserting it to yourself, saying, I am, and then blank. And using God's name as a reference to yourself, my friend, is certainly using it in vain. Now, I told you a few shows back that Mormonism is very like New Age paganism. But, you know, I need to quit talking about stuff like Glenn Beck's Mormonism issues and Meg Whitman's curse of the innocent blood upon her, or Jerry Brown's hippie philosophy leading our state into the ash pit of Sodom. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's okay. Because we don't want Brown to win the election. I get it. How dumb of me. It's all about winning the election. Be patient. Who knows? Maybe I'll learn to shove the shiv under the fifth rib of truth like some of you do. Traitors. Well, let me give you a bit of advice. Merely winning an election is meaningless. Or haven't you figured that out by now? You truly are dull if you haven't. You see, because it's righteousness that exalts a nation, my friend, sin brings reproach. If to win you have to put up perverse men and women with low character or whose values are so corrupted, they support murdering babies in the womb and advancing the cause of the Sodomites, You don't win, you lose. Because it's about winning God's favor. In times of impending great national disaster, it's about finding grace in the eyes of the Lord, my friends. It's about a Noah somewhere out there finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. Glenn is right when he says the answer is not in ourselves, but in God. The problem is the word God is being used by these characters to include every version of God anyone might have, like a bunch of Baalites clamoring up on the altar on Mount Carmel. But the only God who can help us is the God of the Bible, identified as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who did not begin as a man and become God, but was always God in eternity past. Anyway, I am very glad Glenn Beck has been able to successfully broach the subject of God and country into public discourse, because that truly is what needs to get sorted out right now. All right, what about the Daniel Webster brouhaha over submissive wives? Oh my goodness. That Democrat running for re-election in Florida's 8th District took advantage of a recording he got of Daniel Webster speaking about the importance that Christian men should not take the biblical verses that instruct the wife to obey her husband and use them in a self-serving way, but rather that the Christian man should take the biblical references that instruct the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Or in other words, the husband in Christianity is told to love his wife all the way to his own death to self. And this is taken from Ephesians 5, by the way. But anyway, here's another example of why I refer to these particular types of Democrats as Democrats. Not all Democrats are Democrats, by the way. This fellow, Alan Grayson, Democrat, Florida, took Webster's words and edited out excerpts and then wove them together to create an audio commercial having Webster saying exactly the opposite of what he was saying. Devils, who loves and maketh a lie. He constructed the audio to have Webster say, submit to me, something like four times. I believe, let's see, four times. This was so egregious a lie that Grayson got in trouble with his own allies in the mainstream media. Yippee! The Orlando Sentinel condemned this outrageous effrontery. Look, the home is an institution, is it not? Every institution requires defined lines and limits of authority. No institution can function unless there are clearly defined roles. Authority subordinate roles are not understood in the Christian ethos in terms of superior and inferior individuals. The whole idea that all men are created equal is a uniquely Christian perspective, by the way. But the fact that we are all created equal does not mean there is no need for authorities in our relationships. We have authorities that wear badges and enforce laws. This does not make them superior individuals to others. They have a job. That job requires them to be given a certain amount of power to act as an authority to enforce laws. We understand that for every institution in our lives, in civil institutions, government, school, clubs, I don't care where you go, in the world, there is a recognition of the need to define authority and subordinate roles in order for that institution to function. Now, how can you expect a home to function without clearly defined authority and subordinate roles? Hello? It cannot. Who defines these roles for the family? Well, God does. The Creator does. And He limits the amount of power the husband has in the relationship and commands the husband to never use that power to serve himself, but to provide and protect his family. The wife also has power in the relationship as a parent and as her husband's completer or helper. He is to love her and cherish her as one would love and cherish his own body. She is to reverence and honor him. What Webster was saying is that the man should focus on the job God gave him in the relationship and not on the job that God gave to his wife. For this fellow to twist what Webster said into such a flat-out lie is just the sort of thing we have come to expect from you lefties. No time to deal with Newsom's bid for lieutenant governor. I'll get to that, my friend. Thank you for calling and prodding me in that direction. I will address that in my next show. Now, I've lit the lights in the Belfry Arch to signal the enemies on the march. Call in and let me know you see the lights are on. 1-888-770-8000. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.